Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
الحمد لله منشئ الخلق بالمعتاد ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم دامت داعت النصارى فينا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين. Welcome to this program. It is Ad-Durratul Farda Sharhu Qasidatul Burda, exclusive pearl detailing the stanzas of Qasida Burda. So we learn Allama Busayri Rahimullah's stanzas and what is he saying, what message is he giving to the Ummah, and this is approximately 1,000 years later. Approximately 1,000 years, 800 to 900 years later. He is giving this Ummah a message. It's not just some beautiful nasheed. Today we learn, and in here we're going to learn about istiqamah. Together with istiqamah, what does it mean? Nafal actions. Is it nafil, nafal? You must say nafal actions. And provisions for the year after, provisions for that. Afterwards, remember, in the qabr, that's your transit. It's the realm of barzakh now. And then you're just waiting. Either it is going to be a garden of paradise or it's going to be a pit of hell. You know, when there's difficulties, when there's a difficult situation, like you're undergoing a journey and you're perhaps looking forward to that journey, then this journey becomes long because you're looking forward to it. You just want to get to your destination. But transit, in this sense for you, in this realm of barzakh, which we believe in totally, it is beautiful in this sense because Allah Azza wa Jal, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said this, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the designer. So in there, it is going to be a garden of paradise for you, or it's going to be a pit of hell. If it's a pit of hell, you can just imagine how long it's going to be that the day of Qiyamah comes. And you know, as a believer, as a mu'min, you do good actions, you get rewarded. You do bad actions, and either it is you are purified in this worldly life via sicknesses, or it doesn't just mean that you get a sickness, okay, it's purification for you, because then what will you say of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? In his instance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, remember till the end. And this should be motivation for every single person, because when you're undergoing difficult times, sicknesses especially, you can say, but perhaps this, perhaps that, perhaps that. What will you say then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was going through difficulty to the point that Fatima radiallahu anha mentions, wa karba abatah, oh my beloved father, how severe are the pangs of death? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, and you can find it under the chapter of Babu Sabr in Riyadu Salihin. Lama Nawawi rahimullah is included it there. And the hadith mentions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Laysa ala abiki karbun ba'd al-yawm. After today, there won't be any more difficulty upon your father. Now imagine, it's time to leave, depart from this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through difficulty, sickness, this, that, the other. Also, you can bring in another angle here. And how beautiful. My honorable father, he had alerted me to this here. Sometimes you learn so much. You learn from your children. You learn from people who are not scholars. You learn from different people. You learn from animals. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was not killed by the enemy. You speak of the enemy and you speak of how much effort they make on targeting, just because you are spreading the word, the nur, the light of Allah Azza wa Jal. Can you imagine the efforts of the Quraysh? Can you imagine the efforts of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pass away due to the attacks of any enemy. Allah azza wa jal protected Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know the journey of Hijrah, which we'll get into later. It was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam going from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood the enemy is going to be after him. So he decided to take an unusual route. We mentioned to you this previously when we did it in the beginning, the very first tanza. How did it start? Amin tadhakkuri jiranim bidhi salam. Thi salam, du salam, you know. It was that particular place which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed during the Hijrah, and that was getting to Medina Munawwara. It was an unusual route. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed that particular area unharmed and reached Medina Munawwara. If that's not a miracle, it's like saying today with all the equipment, all the technology, all the Mossad, and you're still seeing Islam spreading. A thought that just processes at times. That your parents do so much for you. They're willing to give their lives for you, to protect you, to see you happy. We spoke on this on so many occasions. But when they're gone, they don't just leave you. They leave you with du'as. They leave you with du'as. And this we constantly learn. Just recently, Mufti Hashim Bawda Sahib Hafidhullah, he came to visit. And knowing what to say. It's like he just came, not for drinks, not for kheer, not for mutton curry or karai, or whatever you want to call it. But he came to give you some consolement. So what was his words? He says, and I don't want to mention the name of the particular person, but so-and-so's father passed away. And now he had to run the shop, and his father passed away in a different country. So naturally, you're going to be stressed out how one is to deal with the loss of your father. And then number two, now this whole responsibility is on your shoulders. And he says, this particular person, after a few days, Maulana, he dreamt of his father. And he dreamt that his father said to him, do not stress, do not worry. I left du'as for you here at the store. I left du'a for you here. I left du'a for you there. I left du'a for you everywhere. From this, you can take so much of consolement to say that you lost your parents, and your parents know that they were going to depart at some point or the other, even if they were well. But they didn't just leave like that. They left you with du'as. They left you with du'as, with supplication. And this you can understand. I mentioned to you, it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is leaving this temporary world. And his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha is there. And he says, today, from today, there won't be any pain upon your father. If you just rewind back and you see into this relationship with Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha and Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, her honorable father, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know that she was going through certain domestic difficulties, household responsibilities, and the rest. So she came, Ali radiallahu anhu approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't give her and say, okay, you know what? She is my daughter, honorable daughter, blue-eyed girl. Let me give her something. Let me give her some. He gave her a solution which is going to be everlasting, that should I depart from this temporary world, she is still in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she will still turn to him. It is a remarkable lesson which you and I fail to see today. You and I fail to see this. Our concern, my child, their wealth, their material gain, their profession, their success in this worldly life. But we've forgotten the everlasting year after. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, oh, it's my daughter, never mind, Allah will. He gave her this option and look at her response, because that was the tarbiyah that was done there. And she then chose what we call Tasbih Fatimi. After every salah, you recite this. If it is a salah with sunnah, after that, so you perform your sunnah and then you engage in Tasbih Fatimi. Beautiful. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you recite this before you sleep. When you wake up, you'll see all that strain will be all gone, and you'll be then managing. This teaches the woman folk another lesson. Last night, or was it this morning, I read a statement by one of the seniors. They had written this and said this here. They said that today you are so amazed at that air hostess, because how remarkably she's serving people and passengers on that plane. So that amazes you, but that woman, your mother, your wife, who's cooking for you in that home, meal after meal, and you're still not amazed by her. The world today is not amazed by her. The mother who's cooking in the home, the wife who's cooking in the home, meal after meal, serving you constantly, that you fail to recognize. But your gaze goes quickly and you want to take pictures. And you know, certain scholars so overawed by a female with a scarf on a plane and going wild and crazy. Weren't you taught to protect the modesty and haya of individuals? And if she's not displaying it, then to encourage her. This was Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. This was Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. This is the Quran Sharif. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. When you speak of parda of a female, where does it start? It starts in your homes. That's where it starts. Necessity, need, you have to go out, then the veil. But starts in the home. Now you left the home, you showed your face to all everyone, and then you get scholars who are sanctioning this year and saying how beautiful she's wearing a scarf. Serving, you know, in the different airlines, you have to, even if it is seems to be an Islamic airline, it's got nothing to do with Islam. They serve alcohol. In their countries, they are serving alcohol. So these are questions which we tend to forget and we tend to put aside. You are amazed by that. But that wife who cooks for you, that your mother who cooks for you, who spoils you meal after meal, no tips, nothing, no gratitude being served there. What happened to all of this then? That's where our gaze is turning and twisting. May Allah Azza wa Jal bring us back to that lifestyle. We're never going to be Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We're never going to be Tabi'een. We're never going to be Tabi' Tabi'een. But at least to make and put our gaze back on that, inshallah. So coming back, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, facing this kind of difficulty, but no problem. Positivity. You learn from all of this. And I was saying to you, your parents, they leave this world, but they don't leave you bare. They leave you with du'as. And I shared with you this year. It was my honorable grandfather. He was a Mawlana, Mawlana Abdurrahman Khan, Rahimullah. So he was mother in Pakistan. So that will be my great granny. And when my father explains me this, he says, it's as if though she was waiting for him to come. She's on her deathbed and my grandfather just comes in. She makes two du'as, right? I want you to understand the du'as of your mother, the du'as of your parents, how long it goes, how far it goes. So she made the first du'a, may Allah give you 10 children. That time he had one. And now she's making dua, Allah grant you 10 children. Second dua, may Allah grant you a long life. He says, when my father says to me, how his father explained it to him, she was about to make the third dua, but she then passed away. See taqdeer, how it works out. Taqdeer is such duas of those who are mustajabu da'wat. Those duas of those people are readily accepted. But they will not even get the tawfiq to make their dua. That is taqdeer. There is, someone said, but if I read this dua, it's going to protect me. What if I pass away on that day? Well, on that day, then you'll forget to read the dua, and that's part of taqdeer. That is part of taqdeer. So she didn't make the third dua, but my father says he thinks that dua was for wealth. So now see, my grandfather lives his life. He gets 10 children. On the spot, on the mark, that dua reached its target. 10 children. You want to speak of long life? He lived over 100 years. Mother's dua. See how it happened. She was supposed to make the third dua for wealth. It didn't work out. He was not a wealthy person as such. He was wealthy in terms of sharing ilm. Wealthy in terms of till the end, wanting to go and spread the deen. He moved maybe 13, 14 times because he wasn't a person to just bend over every mutawalli. That is why they had to go from area to area. He would go to the cinemas, and he would, if he knew his student is there, he would go to the cinema and pull that student out. And with his own children as well. My father, honorable father, mentions to me, he was a young boy. And you know how we are, young boys. Play with this youth. So one day, he's in the classroom, and his father is the teacher. Mulana Abdurrahman, our grandfather, was the teacher. So see, everyone treated equally. It's his son. And my father says, I was just young, innocent, playing with a kitab and using it like a steering wheel. And he says, the way my father dealt with me that day, he showed me what is respect. He showed me what is respect. And he gave him few shots, but he says, that taught me respect. They say, the scholars say, even when you hit with an intention. What intention? Now just process this thought. You're going to hit your child. If you're going to intend to hit your child, most of the time you don't think. But if you're going to intend to hit your child, it's going to be controlled, isn't it? You're not going to go wild and abuse your child. It's going to be controlled, and it's with an intention. That hiding, that shot, will have a beneficial effect on that child, inshallah. Imagine going to those extents. Today they will tell you this, that, the other. So coming back to all of this, understanding what is goodness, what is good actions, teaching, making the tarbiyah of your children. Just now I was reading, if you go to Mulana Abul Hassan Nadwi Rahimullah's works, and it is, if you turn to his, this particular kitab of his, Mulana Ilyas and his mission, turn to page 8, you will see there, Mulana Ilyas Rahimullah was a young boy, and he was in Maktab. He had his friend Riyadul Islam. He says, Riyadul Islam, come. He takes his stick. Mulana Ilyas Rahimullah is a young boy. He takes his stick. He says, Riyadul Islam, come. Let's go do jihad upon those people who do not perform salah. This is what he said. We go perform. We do jihad upon those people who do not perform salah. This is now what you call that vision fikr. And when you are young, you've got that josh, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, breaking the idols. And then Allah then looks at your passion, looks at your desire, looks at your dedication, your willingness, your lovingness, and takes you from strength to strength, and then accepts you for such great work. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, needs no introduction. You know, I know his dedication there. And you know further, Mulana Ilyas Rahimullah, a reformer of current times, bringing till today the Jamaat comes to call you for what? Not for money, not for benefit, not for supper, not for to take you from your house and bring you back into the masjid. That is what they are doing. That is why you will see wherever the effort of tabligh is active, there is musallis there. This is the barak of Mulana Ilyas Rahimullah. But where did it start? It started not with him also, it started with his granny. Go and see how pious she was. Anyway, we spoke about that. All of this, what I'm mentioning to you now, you can all read it in Mulana Ilyas and his mission. And that is by Mulana Abul Hasan al-Nadwi Rahimullah. He himself was a giant. He passed away on the 23rd of Ramadan, 23rd night, odd night. And he was reciting the verse of Surah Yasin. But anyway, let's come to this now. Today we discuss, and I said to you, we are speaking about أَمَرْتُكَ الْخَيْرَ لَكِنْ لَأَمَرْتُكَ الْخَيْرَ لَكِنْ مَأْتَمَرْتُ بِهِ. I command you to do good, but I do not command myself to do the same. أَمَرْتُكَ الْخَيْرَ لَكِنْ مَأْتَمَرْتُ بِهِ. I command you to do good, but I do not command myself to do the same. وَمَا اسْتَقَمْتُ فَمَا قَوْلِي لَكَ اسْتَقِيمِ. And I was not steadfast on deed, so then of what use is my saying to you, be steadfast? Inshallah, today we want to wrap up this chapter and move on to chapter number two. Chapter number two is all about concerning the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the poet said, مَا مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِي وَلَكِنْ مَدَحْتُ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدِي. I have not praised Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with my speech. Rather, my speech has become praiseworthy with the mention of Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this particular stanza, we've got وَمَا اسْتَقَمْتُ فَمَا قَوْلِ لَكَ اسْتَقِيمِ. Istiqamat. What is istiqamat? We opened up and we spoke to you a little bit about istiqamat according to the definition, according to the explanation of Hazarji, and that is Mulana Masihullah Khan Rahimullah. Beautiful explanation. And we said to you, we gave you the example in our today's times to understand it. We've got this schedule running. From this hour to this hour is a program. You yourself must have a schedule for your daily routine. And the way to do it is just get involved in activities. Not activities, sports activities. Well, get yourself involved in ibadah. That's what we mean. Today we confuse the two. We consider sport to be ibadat. Kufar sport, we say, no, that's ibadat. How can you do this here? We just gave you the example. Today you want to have deen team programs for girls coming out. And they're having it in Qurtuba and the rest. Coming out of your homes, is this what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us? And they say, no, we want to get active with the youth again. The youth are going in one direction. Well, then why don't you have this fikr? Look at Mulana Ilyas Rahimullah. Having this fikr of the latest, of the later times. That is the fikr. You can't use their ways, their activities to catch you and to do good. It doesn't work that way. So we have to go back to what is deen, principles. And on that, then you can gain strength. Anyway, istiqamat. Istiqamat is important. What is istiqamat? Where is it mentioned in the Quran Sharif? If you turn to Surah Hud, and if you look at verse 112, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. So remain steadfast as you have been ordered. According to Mulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh, explanation I'm giving you now. So, the explanation, everything you put back in its place. So, for example, you've got a drawer. You put your socks back in the drawer. In the socks drawer. You don't go put your socks back in your wife's spoon cupboard because then you know what's going to happen to you. So everything must go back in its place. Likewise, you set your timetable, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, Quran Sharif recitation. So every day from this time to that time, I'm going to put myself on that seat, on that floor, on that musalla, and I'm going to read Quran Sharif. 5 minutes. Putting My efforts back in its time. That's what you have to do. This year is istiqamah, basic understanding. The minute that time passes and I'm not able to do it, then this becomes problematic. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahimullah, Mulana Zakaria, rahmatullah alayhi, on this as well, he was very, very focused. To the point that he says, even my teachers, my elders, seniors would come visit me and they would notice that I'm uneasy. And they would say, I can see you're uneasy, go do your work and come back to us. Go and see, he has written this in RBT. That is how dedicated he was. And he would go. He wouldn't say, act all humble and say, no, this, that. He would go and he would say, this is the reason why. And you were totally right. Now I feel better. They would get headaches because they didn't do things on its particular time. And ibadah, not like us doing haram on its time. They would do ibadah. They would be writing books. They would be dedicated. This is how you achieve. You want to know how to achieve. This is the way you achieve. Dunya and Akhirah. You can't operate your shop time sometimes 1 to 2, next stage 5 to 6. Stick to a time and stick to that. And make sure your times of Salah, your shop is closed and you're going to the masjid to perform Salah. Then see the barakat of that. So here we speak about Istiqamah. Istiqamah. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in another verse, Hamim Sajda is the verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Surely those who said our sustainer is Allah and then they remain steadfast. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مَلَائِكَةِ Angels descend upon them. And what do they say? They say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. And rejoice with the glad tidings of Jannah, paradise, which we have promised. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We were your friends in this world. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ as well as in the آخِرَةِ. So see, you've got friends already in this world. Who are they? They are the angels when you do good actions. But the key is to remain steadfast. There is no worry, there is no grief, there is only glad tidings of that which you are promised, and that is Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. So there are, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. There you shall have whatever your heart desires. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And whatever you shall ask for. And why is this? نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. This is hospitality from the most forgiving, the most merciful. Surah Hamim Sajda, you can check the verses, verses 30 to 32. Another verse, Surah Al-Ahqaf, and you see, this is all, if you want reference to all of this which I'm reciting, go see Allama Nawawi Rahimullah's work, and go see chapter 8, Babul Istiqamah, chapter on steadfastness. He is an encyclopedia himself. So he just looks in his encyclopedia, where does the word Istiqamah come? And there, he puts it in. Yeah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Ahqaf 13 to 14, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Our sustainer is Allah. Surely those who say, our sustainer is Allah, and are then steadfast, they will have no fear, nor shall they grieve. They are the people of paradise, where they will live there forever as a reward for what they used to do. All your good actions used to do, it's not going to waste. It's going to be there for you, stored for you. Now you look at the hadith, coming to the hadith. Amrah, Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah, قُلْ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرًا. Sufyan ibn Abdullah rahimullah radiyallahu anhu, we say for Sahaba, he's a Sahabi, right? He served as the governor of Taif, and this was during the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. Understand, he stated, Sufyan bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, He only quotes the single hadith which is recorded in Muslim, Tirmidhi, Sunan Nasai, as well as Ibn Majah. So the single hadith. Who is the Sahabi? It is none other than Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He says, I asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Islam, which I will not have to ask anyone else besides you, besides Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قال, قل آمنت بالله ثم استقيم. Say, I believe in Allah, and then thereafter be steadfast. You won't have to ask anyone anything after this. Yeah. Such a thing. So, of course, masail, you have to ask how to do this, how to do that. But with regards to this, that drive of istiqamah is sufficient to keep you going forever. Now, وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Another narration, right? This previous narration we quoted for you is from Muslim. Another narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. This is also mentioned in Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَارِبُوا وَسَدِّدُوا. Follow the middle path and be steadfast. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ لَيَّنْجُوَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ بِعْمَلِهِ. Know that none of you shall attain salvation by virtue of his deeds. Who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling this to? The noble Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them, know, understand that you, لَيَّنْجُوَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ بِعْمَلِهِ. You will not attain salvation merely by deeds, by virtue of his deeds. Nobody will attain salvation by virtue of his deeds. قَالُوا Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And not even you, ya Nabi of Allah or Rasul of Allah. قَال. What is the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's answer? وَلَا أَنَا. Not even me. إِلَّا أَن يَتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ. Look at this statement. Except, not even me, except or lest Allah Azza wa Jal engulfs me with his mercy and grace. This is it. Grace. Now you just tend to say, okay, how does this come in this particular hadith here? Where does this come from? I mean, we're speaking of the chapter of istiqamah. This here means, قال العلماء معنى الاستقامة لزوم طاعة الله. What is the meaning of istiqamah? It is holding, being steadfast unto the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. وهي من جوامع الكلم. And this, they state, are comprehensive words. وهي نظام الأمور وبالله التوفيق. And only Allah Azza wa Jal grants the ability for this year. This is the system of Allah, and he grants tawfiq. This is istiqamah. Istiqamah is comprehensive, because you can speak of salah, you can speak of fasting, you can speak of sadaqah, you can speak, it's comprehensive. But Allah is the one who grants ability. So this is the hadith here. Now comes this question. The hadith proves that a person is not deserving of reward or paradise based on his deeds only. He requires the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So enter paradise. Allah Azza wa Jal said, enter paradise on account of what you used to do. Some similar verses are in the Quran Sharif. How do we reconcile this here? One is that a person will enter paradise through the means of his good deeds. However, the ability, guidance, sincerity, and acceptance, this depends on the mercy and grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. Another possible explanation is that a person will enter paradise through Allah's mercy, and his good deeds will then elevate his status in paradise. Therefore, it is correct to say that a person will not enter paradise solely because of his deeds. A believer needs to do good deeds, and equally importantly, he needs to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal for his mercy and grace. You saw the balance, and you saw the hadith. We will not enter Jannah because of our good deeds. Why? It is solely through the mercy of Allah. But does that mean we must not do good deeds? and just carry on. No, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The ajiz, the foolish person, he just does what he wants, his nafs desires, and then he puts his trust in. He say, Allah غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ, in our words. Allah is totally merciful. And no, you do good deeds, be steadfast, but no, understand, it's not your deeds that's going to take you. It's not your deeds. Because if you look at the benefits, the virtue that you're going to get, it can never be a payment for that mercy and that which Allah has promised you. So this is important. Now comes, and we move on to this next portion now. So we spoke about istiqama. وَمَا اسْتَقَمْتُ فَمَا قَوْلِ لَكَ اسْتَقِمِي. And I was not steadfast, so then of what value is my saying to you, be steadfast? Allama Busayri rahimahullah is saying, وَلَا تَزَوَّدْتُ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ نَافِلَةً. And I made no provisions before death of voluntary worship. We said to you previously, this is due to his humility. Otherwise, if you read about his life and all of this, you will come to know what kind of personality and what kind of person he was. When you see this word, وَلَا تَزَوَّدْتُ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ نَافِلَةً. Patkos. What you say, patkos. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran Sharif, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Take provisions. The best, surely, the best provision is taqwa. Taking provisions, making the means, this is all important. See, we spoke about istiqama. And we quoted for you that last hadith where your success depends on Allah's mercy upon you. But to attain Allah's mercy, you've got to do something, present something, show something that you are concerned, you want to attain Allah's mercy. Right. وَتَزَوَّدُوا قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ نَافِلَةً. I made no provisions before death of voluntary worship. Allama Abu Sayri rahimahullah is saying. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 197, we quoted for you, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Make provisions, the best provision is taqwa. This is part and parcel. You don't just go on a journey and you say, I'm going to put my full tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jal. You make the means. You take your part course. You take what you need to take. This is part of taqwa. Yeah, he's saying, I made no provisions before death. For that life of barzakh, the realm of barzakh, the transit period, I've taken nothing for me. This is his humility. Then to back it up, he ends this chapter, وَلَمْ أُصَلِّ سِوَا فَرْضِي وَلَا أَصُمِي. And I did not perform salah, nor did I fast except that which was obligatory. Obligatory we all do, but to attain and get close, join that close proximity with Allah Azza wa Jal, then we have to engage in non-obligatory acts. So, what does this mean? Again, meaning, he shows his sincere repentance and humility by saying that he was lax in his voluntary devotions. Just recently we were interacting with a person that was leaving, departing this world. And we were smiling and showing a positive face, not just trying to create. And the person said to me, but you are very positive. And then she looked down and she said, but what I've done, the actions that I've done. And then we said, but no, you did this good, that. No. We still need to make istighfar. We still need to make istighfar. Allah Azza wa Jal is all forgiving. See, towards the end of your life, you know you've just got few more moments left. What you did previously can be the best of actions, but when you're sincere, you don't even, your gaze does not even fall on those good actions. You just want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allama Busayri rahimullah is mentioning here. I did not perform salah I did not perform fast, I did not keep fast, except that which was obligatory. And here he's saying that is grossly insufficient. I had to go the extra mile. And he did. But see, when you want the mercy, you are desperate, and situations is closing on in upon you, what do? You just want to attract every single bit of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we end off this chapter, chapter number 2. And yes, it is that emotional state. But to inject, you see the Quran Sharif, how beautiful it is. Quran Sharif, you'll find verses, Jahannam, scenes of Jahannam. And then Allah Azza wa Jal changes the scene to Jannah. Because that's how we insan are. Hope and fear, hope and fear. If there's too much of fear and no hope, then you're going to lose. If there's too much of hope and no fear, you lose. So of keeping that, striking that balance. Now keeping that in mind, Allama Busayri Rahimullah goes to this positive note, and this is concerning the chapter concerning the praises of Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's our chapter number 3. We'll do this, inshallah, inshallah. This is what we're learning. That no action is done except with the tawfiq of Allah. That's why we say inshallah. So inshallah, next week, when we meet you, we'll be discussing at this particular time. And you know the repeats play on Thursday night, and that is between 10 and 11. But next week, inshallah, 10 to 11, Monday, 10 to 11 a.m., live on a Monday. And the repeat plays Thursday night, 10 to 11 p.m. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين
الحمد لله منشئ الخلق بالمعتدل
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.